All right, welcome to the first episode of The Reach with Chris Appleton. I am excited to get this started, get this launched. I wish I could say I was recording this in some professional sound studio and, you know, had all this great equipment, but I'm actually sitting on the edge of my bed here. I have my laptop is set on ironing board, and I wanted to say all that on the recording so I could look back to the first episode and just remember where we started with this. So you're on this journey with me. You're actually listening the first ever episode. Hope you enjoy it. I'm going to get into some things here. We're going to have a great time with this. Keep posting, keep checking. I mean, I'm going to be sharing this stuff on social media. You'll be able, right now you're able to listen to it on Spotify immediately. But then it'll be on Apple, iTunes, different, you know, platforms and formats. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you'll be able to hear it. And, you know, listen, share with your friends. We're going to have a great time with this. I want to start every week with a short devotional. I'm going to be using the Bible app for those devotionals. And the reason why I want to do that is hopefully you listen to this and then you go to your Bible app and you do the same, the same devotional. It'll be right there available for you on the Bible app. This, for the next, let's see, it's a 5-week devotional for the first 5 podcasts. I'll be doing, this devotional. It's called I Declare War by Levi Lusco. It's a 5 part devotional and it's awesome. So I'm going to get right into this part and, just read Levi Lusco's devotional here. The scriptures he's using are Romans 7:18-20, Romans 6:12-14, verses 12-14, Lamentations 3:22-23, and 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4-6. I'm going to be using the New Living Translation, and we're going to read those scriptures. I just want to read the devotional. It's part 1 of I Declare War. In the words of Warren Wiersbe, the Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. And we must be on our guard at all times. Before we even jump into this idea of declaring war, we have to acknowledge this reality. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're in a war. You can't win a battle you won't admit that you're in. The Christian life is a war of fighting to live in the spirit and not in the flesh. Paul put it this way in Romans 7, "For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. But the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." Okay, let me read that again. I slaughtered that. Okay, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." Now, he goes on to say, "If that Dr. Seuss tongue twister doesn't perfectly exemplify the internal struggle bouncing around in all of our minds, I don't know what does. We are masters of getting in our own way. Yes, the devil hates you. Yes, the world is out to get you. But you've got enough going on under the hood to take yourself out of the game. Your self-sabotaging mechanism might be your negative thoughts. It might be your actions or lack thereof, your bad behavior or short temper. It might be your harsh speech or the way you mindlessly turn to social media or food to distract yourself from what's really going on. We all have a vice. The problem isn't that we struggle with these things. The problem comes when we refuse to acknowledge them, when we decide it's easier to go quietly into the night instead of putting up a fight. I don't want to believe that we don't desire victory in our lives. No one wants to be stagnant, stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut of the same old Roblox. It's just that we don't want to put in the yards or commit to God's instructions. That God's instructions, which show us the way that we can live as victors. Let me tell you, our world offers lots of distractions to thwart the chaos caused by our unruly actions and thought lives. But these fixes, at their best, are simply that, distractions. Jesus offers something better. So this is the day. God brought you to this moment to declare war. Declare war on your darkness, on your demons, on your self-sabotaging tendencies, on the version of yourself that you don't want to be. To throw off the gloves, to rise to the fight, to commit to leaning in as we tackle vital components of the inner struggle. There is freedom in this declaration. I declare war. Now, there's some questions to ask yourself here. And, you know, whenever you listen to this, as you listen to it, maybe you listen to it a couple times, who knows? But ask yourself these questions, and you can find this on the Bible app. I recommend you go to the Bible app and get started in this devotional. It's awesome. But these questions are, what are three things holding me back? And don't sanitize this list, he says. That doesn't help anyone. I like how he phrased that. Don't sanitize the list. And that was the first question. What are three things holding me back right now? And the second thing is, who can I tell? I could tell someone who loves me and loves Jesus. Who can I tell about this list to keep me accountable? So those are a couple things to think about here. And let me go over these scriptures that he uses. They're really good. We already read Romans 7, 18 to 20. Romans 6, 12 to 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Awesome. Wow. Okay, so the next one was Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Man. That's awesome. And 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6, this is very familiar. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. All right, there you have it. Those are the scriptures he references. Go to your Bible app and get started on this I Declare War by Levi Lusco. It is awesome. Trust me, it's great. And, you know, follow along. We're going to go through this for the next five podcasts. We'll be going through this one. And, you know, it's a good way to start the podcast. So, hope you enjoyed that, and we're going to get started on a couple other things. I want to do a Joker movie review. We're going to review the movie Joker, and that should be interesting. I'm going to be doing movie reviews every podcast, either movies or shows or something like that, but just to kind of give it a little bit of a biblical perspective on stuff. And, you know, I mean, you know, you're seeing the movie, and if not, you know, it's not a kid's movie. You shouldn't be taking your kids, but you know, I just have some thoughts on it that I want to share with you. And also, go over a worship song per week. I listen to every Friday on Spotify. I listen to new worship music that comes out. So I found this song that came out this week. Amazing. You probably already heard it, but I'm going to share it and talk about it, and it should be pretty awesome. Other than that, hope you enjoyed this segment. We're going to move right on to the next part, which is Joker movie review. All right, so I want to do something different. I know a lot of Christian podcasts out there, and probably none of them are doing a Joker movie review. Everybody's probably saying to stay away from this movie, and I can understand why. And even people that aren't Christians, you know, movie critics and different people that are out there are saying, oh, you know, stay away from this film, and it's going to stir up an uprising of incels and fear, 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 and all of that. And I completely understand. But I have to say, I really enjoyed this movie. I have some thoughts on it, for sure. You know, as a comic book fan growing up and kids liking Batman and Joker and everything else, I mean, I really thought this was a good movie. And the direction they went with it was pretty intense. I mean, I have to say, it's not a movie for kids. It's definitely for us who grew up watching Batman, and now we're, you know, older and we can handle it, but kids should not be watching this movie. Okay, so getting that out of the way, I have some thoughts. Okay, now it might be funny, but this is my take on the whole thing. All right, now, first of all, with the Marvel Universe, from, you know, the Marvel Iron Man 1, that movie that, you know, they took a chance on, and Jon Favreau said, give me some money, I'm going to make Iron Man. And Robert Downey Jr. was on with it, and they took that money. And from the money they made from that, they started Marvel Studios. And that's what caused this craziness, billion-dollar industry they have with Marvel Studios now. And Disney and this conglomerate, you know, it's all started with this guy taking a chance with his money. I think that's awesome. Now, the storyline on the other side of it is what threaded from Iron Man 1 to Endgame was the thread of story was the Infinity Stones. And that's what wove that whole storyline together and made from Iron Man 1 all the way to Endgame, you know, completely almost one huge storyline of different universes and everything else. What threaded it all together were the Infinity Stones. And that was awesome planning and writing and everything else they did to weave that whole storyline together. On the other hand, you have DC, and I believe DC's thread of story is mommy issues. Okay, so let me explain. Every single every single DC character has some sort of mommy issues. If you look at Batman and Superman, they were fighting each other and stopped fighting because both their moms had the same name. Mommy issues, all right? Wonder Woman, raised on an island of women, fighting her mother, whatever was happening, you know, they all that stuff, mommy issues. You have who else? Aquaman and his brother fighting over the attention of their mother. Joker comes on. I mean, the first line in the first trailer I can remember seeing, and I was like, here they go again. My mama always told me, put on a happy face. I'm like, oh my goodness, there it is again. Mommy issues. So I believe that mommy issues are the Infinity Stones of the DC universe. Okay, that's just my personal take on it. Take it or leave it. But now, as far as the movie itself, very dark. You know, I was thinking about how they could, you know, take that and, you know, see the movie as far as the call to action that it was. They could see it as that, and you could see it as a call to action for people to, you know, overthrow the government or whatever they wanted to do. I didn't see it as any of that. I just saw it as usually you have a movie that's Batman and there's a villain that's Joker, and they're able to counteract each other in the same movie. So it's not all just of one thing. It's not all just Batman. If it was only Batman and you just saw him hanging out and creating stuff, it would be kind of boring. But Batman needed a villain. He needed a Joker in order to make the movie interesting. And a lot of times, if you have too much of just one thing, it can be too much. And I believe that that's why people are having a problem with this. But it's an origin story of the Joker. And it showed how their relationship, even with Bruce Wayne, and how all of that ties together, and how he is the number one villain of the DC universe because of that whole storyline and the way they built it. So if you look at it through the lens of, oh, there's just not a Batman to counteract or to stop what he's doing, this is actually the infancy of a madman being developed, it makes it a little bit more chewable. And you're able to understand it a little bit more, why they did this film the way they did and made it as dark as they did, because he was creating the Joker. And if you look at even The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger's Joker, very dark and sadistic person, this would be how that person came to be. If you had a movie of that Dark Knight Joker, how even more crazy would it have been? Because, you know, it just, his stories that he was telling about his childhood and everything else, if you had to see that play on film, that would be very hard to watch as well. I think they did a great job with this. I think that, you know, the only thing that made it was there was no Batman to rescue you from seeing all this play out and develop. So you just had to sit back and watch this guy that, you know, basically descends into madness by the way he's treated by people around him. And it almost makes you sad and want to take responsibility for how you treat people and how you talk to people, is how I see it. And just to be kinder and just to be nice. I mean, if you look in the movie, he has this vision of himself on, you know, the talk show that Robert De Niro was playing, the talk show host. And he said, I would give all of this away to have a son like you. And that was in his mind what he was hoping someone would tell him as a father, as someone in his life. And I was thinking that if someone was to actually tell him that, how much of an impact it would have made on what he was doing and where he was going. Because the only people that were close, like, were his mom, and she had all of that stuff going on that she never told him and let him be abused and all that stuff that happened. He was a happy child, but he had this laughing disorder and laughed through the abuse because he couldn't cry, which is very sad. And then the friends that were so-called friends were setting him up and giving him a gun and doing, snitching on him, doing all this stuff. So he never had anyone in his life just to say something good to him. And I believe if one person would have just said something good, it might have changed everything. That's how I see it. And I could be wrong. But what am I saying? I'm saying to be kind, find something nice to say to someone. Find something nice and not always have to be, you know, rude or whatever it is, and just to be kind. I believe if he would have had that moment where Robert De Niro said, I would give everything to have a son like you, that's what he was looking for. He was looking for a relationship. That's why in his mind he had a relationship with this girl, or, you know, all this different stuff and these fantasies and things that he created in his mind, because his reality was so messed up. And there's people out there that need kind people. People to say something nice to him. People to say, you know, hey, you're all right. And you know what? You matter and you're important. And this world needs someone like you. You know, and it would make a difference. Tell someone, hey, God bless you. Hey, I love you. And so God loves you. And God has a purpose for your life. It's a, you know, just, it's a wake up call to people that, how we talk to people and how we treat people. Because you never know, especially nowadays. Hate to say it like that, but you never know. Let's be kind to people. Because you could really change someone's life by just one kind word. All right, so that's my Joker movie review. And next, we're going to review a song that I listened to this week. I was driving to work, and I was excited. It was the new Hillsong album. We're going to get into that. And there's an awesome song on that album that I want to share with you guys. I don't know if I can share the whole thing, but I'm going to share a piece of it that I really liked. And hopefully, you know, initiate somebody to get on there, get on Spotify and listen to it and have a great time with it. All right. Be back in a second. All right, so I'm going to recommend a worship album this week. I would recommend for you to listen to Awake by Hillsong Worship. This album just came out yesterday on Spotify. It is awesome to listen to. There's a song on there. It's called No One But You. I was going to play a little bit of it, but I don't think I can get permission to do that. But I would just recommend you guys check it out. The song called No One But You, it's like a U2 song. I mean, it just sounds awesome. And it's written by Brooke Fraser's husband. I think how you pronounce his name is Scott Lichterwood or Lichterwood. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I don't want to slaughter it too bad. But anyway, they're an awesome couple. They both wrote that song and it is fantastic. Hope you guys enjoy it. Give me some feedback on it. I wish I could play the music for you. Going forward, as we grow, we'll be able to play the music and, you know, get permissions to do all that. But for the first, I didn't want to get in trouble on my first episode. So, all right. Now we're going to go to a next one. I'm going to talk about Kanye in the next segment and share some thoughts I had on Kanye West. All right. All right. So last segment for this podcast is I just want to go over some I want to talk about Kanye West. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are hating on him. A lot of people love what he's doing. They just want to be a part of it. And it's, you know, it's great. There's a lot of people that are hating on him, you know, this and that. And I just want to share this. A pastor on Facebook, Charlie Gallegos, and he is a pastor in Whittier, California. He posted this post here. I just wanted to share it. It says, Kanye West leads thousands in Utah to pray against the devil during a free outdoor service. And you can go on YouTube and you can see that prayer and all of that. There was someone that put false prophet is their comment that they put on this post. And I was, you know, I just don't think he's a false prophet. I mean, I don't think he's a prophet at all, much less a false prophet. I just think he's, you know, anyway, I wanted to know a little bit more about why they thought this. So I put, I'm interested to know why you think he's a false prophet, was my reply to this comment. He put, this man has mental health issues. People are only flocking to him because the name, the brand, the Kardashians, etc. He has no Bible knowledge, only his own interpretation. Sad to see Christians so gullible. They even have Snoop Dogg at an event. Hashtag starstruck is his post. Is his reply to my question. My comment was, I appreciate your outlook on this. I honestly do not think what the Lord is doing in Kanye's heart is false. It would be hard for a man with such a far reach globally to go quietly and repent in a corner somewhere. I'm excited to see what God is doing through this and gonna do through this. Someone with issues and problems and fame and everything else that has happened on the world stage is now turning his heart over to God. And I'm thankful. This is a result of people praying for him. It is awesome to see. Now, I personally have never really been a huge fan of Kanye. But I'm glad to see that he's reaching out to God, and I can see him bringing a lot of people to Christ. I do. I think it's amazing. I mean, he has some really great preachers that are sharing the word. You know, I mean, it's how do you expect someone like Kanye, who is an amazing performer, amazing songwriter, he's outspoken, he's, you know, he's out in the forefront of an arena of spiritual warfare that none of us really, I mean, I can't understand. And people are just going to hate on him for that? That doesn't make sense to me. So I think we should pray for Kanye West. And I think we should pray for, you know, what God is doing, and that God would continue to get the glory, because it's only him, it's only God that can make something like that work. It's, you know, and you can't expect someone that has sold millions of records, done huge things, been in front of huge crowds all over the world. Everybody knows you. Everybody knows his wife. Everybody knows their problems. They're on a reality show. Everything they do is under scrutiny and under a microphone, under a microscope, on a camera. And you expect him just to go quietly repent until you think he's ready to let the Lord use him? It doesn't work like that. That's why even with Saul of Tarsus, you know, Saul was killing Christians, was butchering them. And he was knocked off his high horse, blinded, and told to go somewhere and wait. And someone came and healed his blindness, told him that God wants to use you. Imagine being that first guy that was told to go minister to Saul. I have him there. And you know, in your mind, you know he's a killer. He's killing Christians. You can die. And to go minister to him. And in that secret moment of conversion, the Lord instantly started using Paul. Changed his name and instantly started using him. Imagine that, you know, a year before, this guy's killing members of your family. Now he's preaching at the church. And he's on a global stage. He's writing, being used to write the scripture. All of these things. I'm sure there were people in that church saying, this guy's a false prophet. He's a killer. He's killing people. How are we going to accept this? But God was getting the glory. God chooses who he chooses. It's not up to you and I. It's up to the Lord. And I think that God is going to bring there. It's so needed right now for the church to get behind something like this and make sure it stays on course. Make sure it's within that, you know, the guidelines of, you know, community and scripture. And keep those parameters up and not to dominate and not to control, but just to guide a movement like that. Because only God could do something that special and that powerful. So I say that to say this. I'm behind what God is doing with Kanye West. And I'm behind what God is doing in your life as well. You, the listener. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Kanye West is not perfect. The only one who's perfect is Jesus. And God uses who he uses. So don't be so willing to scrutinize and speak against. Because that's probably why God chose that certain man to go minister to Saul and heal his blindness. Because if he knew there were other people that knew Saul was in there blind, they might kill him in his blindness. They might kill him and say, hey, Saul's over there, the Lord blinded him. He's ready for us to kill him. We can go get him back now. You'll never break someone out of their blindness if you're willing to be the first one to kill them when they're blind. Point out their mental health issues and point out their problems and point out this and point out that. Instead of being the one to say, you know what, let me pray for you. Let me heal your blindness. Let me back you up. Let me be the one. God sent me here to heal you, to restore you, to raise you up, and to push you further than I could ever go. You're in front of stages I will never be on. You're doing something that I never do. But God brought me here just to heal your blindness so you can go do that work. But because they're on a reality show, Christians won't minister to them. Christians won't pray for them. Christians won't do, you know, Hollywood needs the Lord too. They need people that love too. So anyway, that's my thoughts on that. And hope you enjoyed this podcast. I enjoyed putting it out here, recording it. And, you know, we're going to have more episodes like this. Other ones where I'm going to be interviewing some folks, getting their thoughts, getting their feedback and outlook. And I just wanted to kind of give you guys an idea of the kind of show I'm going to have, the kind of podcast I'm going to have. So when you're at work or, you know, cleaning the house, whatever you're doing, you have something to listen to that has a different perspective, a different outlook. And I really hope you enjoy it. God bless you, listeners. Make sure to find this, you know, look for it on Spotify. After you listen to it, share it. You know, share the content. Get out there, you know, and we'll get this thing off the ground. All right. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Two words for you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's coming against you, no matter what the struggle is, two words. Be encouraged. God bless.